I'm Lester Holt.
All right, here we are with another Thursday Shorty. I can't do a KMDB description because every time I tried to write one, it was giving my opinion of this ep and people in it. So I went to IMDB for the description. Caitlin, tell me what's wrong with this description, okay? Part of the plan. Police investigate the murder of a Miami man found dead at the edge of the Florida Everglades.
That's last week's Shorty.
Yeah. So I'm just putting IMDb on blast, that's all. Don't mind me.
Boom, roasted.
What would you say the description is? A guy dies in his garage on his way to work. His wife flips out. She is bound and determined to find out who did it because she's heartbroken. Let's begin this tale of Michelle and Nathan Payette. Kate, what did you think of this episode?
Well, Kurt, I have seen this covered by other outlets before.
Yeah.
So I already knew the entire thing. I knew it all. But I was curious once again to see how Dateline would do it. And I think it was fine.
It was definitely fine. It was a middle-of-the-road cookie-cutter Dateline app. Now, there are things about Dateline apps, even the cookie-cutter ones, that set them apart. And I'll bring that up later. But I've got to say, Kate. One, we started watching this and we were texting for 10 minutes. We were convinced we've seen this one before. It just turns out that it's old as f***. Snap did this 7 years ago. And like this is a Snapped episode. I mean, this could not touch a Friday Dateline. There's no way they'd be able to fill it.
No.
So
it's pretty open and shut. It didn't take cops long to solve at all.
No. Yeah, and well, I guess we'll go beat by beat, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I was just disappointed and it made me question Thursdays again. Cause I want to be like, hey guys, if you don't have it, you don't got to put something out.
No, I think they should go back to one a week. This two a week nonsense.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Because stuff like this, it's a KM episode too. And I'm just like, there ain't nothing special, you know?
Yeah, don't waste Keith's time with this.
Thank you. And it is because of Keith that gives it the extra edge. And I'll bring that up when it happens. But this story opens in Las Vegas, 2010-ish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
911 call is placed. And Michelle Payette is hysterical on the phone because her husband and father of their two kids was just shot in cold blood in their garage. How'd this 911 call go?
She sounded either really, really upset and so terrified, or like she was staging the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and now look, we both have seen this before, so it is no surprise that this Michelle Payette is the one who did it. She killed her husband. We're not surprised. Now, even if we hadn't seen this story before, there was a point in her interrogation where I would have known it from the instant she said it. Do you know which part I'm talking about?
No, but I have a problem with her interrogation too.
Okay, well, let me just say that the second she presented, and hey, we always talked about if we ever wanted to step outside the marriage, all we had to do was ask.
And if you want to go out and venture off, then just let each other know.
Oh! No version of that conversation ever happened between them, for one. And two, it was never an open thing like this, right?
No. His cell phone paints a very different picture. His cell phone was just full of photos and videos of his family. There's nothing going on in that dude's life other than family and job.
Yeah.
His digital footprint proved it.
You know, here I am, suspicious of everyone. I'm convinced everybody's hiding something. But this guy seems pretty straight and narrow. Like, he's a family man. He's in the military. Like, this is, like, he was just a guy living his life day at a time.
Yeah. We meet the Las Vegas PD detective on the case, Detective Williams.
Yes.
And he says that, you know, Vegas is where the action is when it comes to homicides.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's right, because I remember from my days of watching old school CSI, the Vegas crime lab is the busiest in the country. But then,
wow,
then this guy puts us on blast by saying he doesn't like to do interviews because murder isn't entertainment.
I've always refused these.
How come?
I just didn't feel like murder was entertainment or should be entertainment. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So I've got my reasons for doing this now.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts on this joker. I mean, let's go ahead and say it. He's a dingus through and through. I mean, he did fine. They solved the case, but he's a dingus through and through for this because he's talking nonsense, for one, okay? He presents to Keith of, he's going, in the beginning, they're going, I'd never do this. I've never wanted to do this. I have a 30-year career, and I've never done this based on my principles. And Keith says, well, you'll find out at the end of this ep why he's here tonight.
Once you hear the whole story.
And the reason why he's here tonight is so everyone knows that it was the wife who did it. I'm not exaggerating. Those are his exact words.
To find out that his own wife had caused that was just almost more than you could bear as a human being.
It's the reason Detective Williams decided to speak with us.
He did this because he wanted people to know the wife did it. That happens. That's the premise of Snapped. I mean, I'm beside myself, Kate. Help.
Bro, we know the wife did it.
He's lying to himself, right? I mean, let's say if you're a talking head, you think you get like a couple grand?
Maybe. It's also interesting that he's like, I had to do the interview for this case 7 years after it was already done.
Yeah, because guess what? He wasn't unsnapped. He didn't have to tell it then, Kate. Interesting. So I'm thinking if these guys get a couple grand to do a talking head, maybe the guy needed money and he's just being a lying little shit about it. Because I'm dying to know what the hell is different from every other murder on every other crime show. Like, I was so put off by that at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And I liked KM's response because Keith was like, he didn't say, oh yeah, okay, I get it. He just like brushed it, like, yep.
That's the best way I can describe
it. Yeah.
So
totally. Keith's on our side.
He is. While they're interrogating Michelle, this is where we find out that she never once cheated on Nathan, but she could have because of their agreement. But she is a flirt, okay? She will admit to being a flirt.
Is there anybody specific you flirted with?
No, there's nobody specific.
And the detectives say, who with? And the name she offers up, Michael. Tell us about Michael, Kate.
Michael is her coworker.
Yep.
She says that they flirt at work, but they're not cheating. They're not having an affair. They're just, it's like innocent flirtation. And there's nothing more to it than that. But then Detective Williams asks Michelle if she knows anyone who has a black car. Because
oh yeah,
that's what witnesses say they saw fleeing the scene that night.
Oh my God, you're right.
And she says, yes, her coworker Michael, who she flirts with, has a black car. Now, Kurt, why the hell did she say yes? Why didn't she just say like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Like,
yeah.
I can't think of any of my friends who have one or something. But she fully implicated herself immediately.
Your relationship with Michael?
Just coworkers. He was one of the people I flirted with, but that was it.
Yes, and we need to specify that the cops did not know a thing at this point. Because when they heard this, they staked out Michael's car for 4.5 hours and waited for him to get in it. Like, I thought she gave up Michael, like, well, they're going to find out that I work with this guy anyway, so I'll give him up. I did not realize that she offered up him as a person who owns a black car. What an idiot!
Yeah. She could have just said, like, I don't know, I feel like my friend Stacy has, like, a dark blue car, but no, not really anything.
Yeah.
She's dumb.
Yeah. Soup's dumb, and so is Michael, because of the many gems he gives us in this interrogation, I'd like to point out that he used the word privy wrong. He meant to say prior, okay?
We had talked privy to her going home because...
Kurt, he also said per se wrong.
Yes, he did, he used it wrong, you're right!
We have had per se, I don't know how you'd word it.
I love when dum-dums and wise guys get into these interrogations with cops and they try to use big words to sound smart.
Thank you, yeah.
I mean, we saw it with Jason's half-brother with all of his, like, yes and therefore too and such.
Yeah.
Done and or been involved in and or, you know, been party to some form of lethality.
Like, that's exactly what this is.
Uh-huh.
Fucking dummies trying to look smart.
Yeah. But they're not. They know Michael's not smart because he agrees to come in and talk to them without a lawyer.
Yeah. And you know what? I gotta be honest. When he walked in there, he seemed confident and cool. He was kind of fooling me, Kate. Okay? I'm not gonna lie. That I thought first thing, maybe this wasn't the guy who did it.
Yeah, well, you know who was not fooled?
Who?
That lady detective.
Yep.
She was pissed when she interviewed Michael. She was not having any of his attitude.
Guess what happened 6 minutes later?
I don't know.
Her husband shot in a garage and killed.
And she was like, bro, you haven't even asked why you're here.
Yes. For how smooth this guy is, he forgot, like, day one stuff. Like, do not act like you know why you were arrested.
Right.
And what I find interesting, Michael, is that you haven't asked us one single time why you're here.
Don't come in, like...
just super cool, drinking your water, leaving your phone volume on. Oh my God, did I lose it in this when his phone kept ringing?
You may talk your way out of here tonight, but I'm coming after you.
It's like, dude, you're being interrogated for murder. Silence your cell phone.
Are we sure it's his?
Yes, at least one of them is, because he's got it in front and he keeps tapping it and touching it.
What a dickhead.
And she says, I can't go to sleep right now. Got woke up from a man screaming I'm late. He's rushing out the door.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm willing to say it is, and I gotta say this about that detective.
That look at you like, well, you're just some stupid lady. Why are you talking to me? And that was what he started to do to me, which really did not set well with me.
I don't remember what her name is, but it doesn't matter because I'm just gonna refer to her as All-Star.
I knew you would.
I loved her attitude.
She rules.
I love that she wore it on her sleeve, and like, Michael wasn't even pissing me off in the interrogation. And I can say when I watch these shows, if a cop gets mad at the person they're interrogating, I will have already been pissed 10 minutes before. Like, I got a way shorter fuse. And at this point, I wasn't even mad at Michael when she was giving him toot.
I know you killed Jason, and you can book me all you want, but you know I'm right.
And it made me, like, rethink. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, this guy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, All-Star.
Yeah. When he's in that interrogation, he explains that his relationship with Michelle is a little more than friends because they cried to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what, crying into each other's genitals? What do you mean?
You know, she's cried to me, I've cried to her at times.
Another thing that Michael said, I had no doubts about him when he said this phrase.
And I'm trying to get money into her pocket.
They were on hard times and I was trying to help her out.
Specifically saying, I was trying to put money in her pocket is so like scumbag douche. Like salesman speak.
Like he's her savior?
Yeah.
And we did learn that Michelle and Nathan were on some hard times financially.
Yeah.
We met his brother and his wife. They told us about one time in particular when they had invited Michelle and Nathan down to San Diego, but Nathan called and said that they weren't going to come because they couldn't afford the trip.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to drive up to them in Vegas instead.
We didn't like that idea, so we went up there instead. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, Kurt, but I got the impression that while they were having some money problems, I feel like that was an excuse he gave because he actually just didn't want to hang out with them. Because when they showed up, things were so awkward and weird and like kind of sad, and they didn't really have time to spend with them, and like they clearly didn't take the hint that they just were not up for it. And then they noted that like the house was kind of sad, there wasn't any food.
Yeah, I mean that's scary, huh?
Like Michelle and Nathan weren't really talking to each other, and it was like, yeah, you read this wrong. They didn't want to be doing this right now. They're going through something, and y'all were like, it's okay, we're coming. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty clueless. Like read the room. That was clearly a way of just saying, we can't do it this year for a lot of reasons. Like, it's true they can't afford it, but ultimately their relationship is in shambles, and he doesn't want to have to fake the funk for his family.
Exactly.
Right? And the bro, this dumb bro. I'm not sure when the bro and his wife got married, but I am curious if they've been holding hands since the ceremony. Because they're holding hands the entire episode.
Have you...
Every shot.
Have you ever dated anybody who is very hands-on like that?
No, I haven't. What, does that mean I'm the one? Who is the one who said, well, I'm not this bad. I can say that.
I have dated someone who had to have like a hand on me at all times.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
No, not at all.
I know people like when you're in the car and you have a hand on either person's leg or like touching hands in the center console. Not me, man. Mm-hmm. Just do your thing. 10-2. Keep them off me.
Wow. Okay. That's hilarious. I mean, I disagree. I thought you were going to say that's when hand-holding is okay.
Mm-mm.
I think it's okay to pop a hand over on a thigh for a little bit. Not the whole time, but just be like, what's up?
Fine.
I care about you.
For a little bit, but not the whole time. And I feel like
these two,
whole time. That whole drive from San Diego to Vegas,
yeah.
Hands on the legs.
Yeah. You know they weren't driving it sticked. That car was automatic.
For real.
They were sitting in two separate chairs. Like, if they were on a love seat, I would have let it go because they would have been closer to each other. But they're in two separate chairs, so it looks weird, right?
Do you think
it looks weird?
Do you think they're having problems too and they're overcompensating?
Maybe. No, but his wife, Melissa Joan Hart, come on. Come on, Clarissa.
I guess so.
You didn't see Melissa Joan Hart in her face.
I can kind of see it, but it didn't jump out at me. But no, I see it. I see it.
Okay. All right. I mean, because it was like, I don't know, I thought it was pretty good. But then again, I had just watched A Very Nutty Christmas, which is, of course...
Is that an AC original?
No, actually, it's not. But it is like a Hallmark movie that Melissa Joan Hart was in. So maybe current day Melissa Joan Hart is just more in my forefront.
Maybe.
He's the wooden nutcracker come to life.
Another thing that the brother and his wife talked about, that they had a, you know, maybe since he had money problems, he had taken out a loan that went bad and it was a loan shark kind of thing. Then Keith says, was it a loan shark? Or something else. And then they cut to footage of like street racing and cars drifting. And I'm like,
oh, they did?
What? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, when he said that, that was definitely an end of act tease to when they come back from break. And I say that because there's another one that he does where the hook, the cliffhanger, is that they let Michelle go after interrogating her.
Did they arrest Michelle? No, they did not. They let her go.
That's a non-story, okay? That is a non-story. We see that every time. But because they were hurting for story, this is where KM comes in. Because he can deliver these lines where you buy it, at least for the first second, where you're going like, God, I am on the edge of my seat.
He made it a point to say that Michelle and Michael were both let go.
Just like Michael Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But after they let Michelle go, she had kind of a nervous breakdown in the parking lot outside, and they had to put her on a psychiatric hold in the hospital, which I think was fake.
Same here, Kate. I agree with that. She just realized that the writing was on the wall, that she's a dumbass and she's going to prison forever. So she was like, what's the last thing I can play?
I think in a moment of desperation, she wanted to throw herself in front of traffic.
Boy, also, she spilled pretty quick. I mean, they brought her in that second time. She started the interrogation by saying, I just want to be able to move on with my kids and my family. And by the end of it, she's basically saying, like, I was in on it, but I tried to stop it because I didn't unlock the car door. Right?
I guess he's late. LOL. Sorry, that contract is a pain.
That meant, you know, I was trying to save my husband.
And she was reading back through the coded texts she had with Michael, which were...
coded, yeah.
They were messages that told him when to do certain things that night, like when he was awake and when he was walking out the door. And
my husband just woke me up, and he's trying to rush out the door.
Yeah.
But the detectives were like, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Detectives weren't buying it.
I did like that the detectives were not letting her slide.
I did have part to do with it. And I'm not going to lie because...
Michelle, part to do with it, you had everything to do with this. If you could have stopped this, you're the only one in the entire world.
And I tried to.
So Nathan's parents still lived in Guam. Like, Nathan grew up in Guam and then moved to Hawaii. Was it the Army or... He was in the military somewhere.
Was it Air Force? Because Vegas is all about Air Force.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Because think about the thumbnail. He's wearing blues. Remember, he's got the blues on. Is that just Navy or do Army people also wear the blues? I do not know.
I don't think Army wears the blues.
Okay. I base all my info on knowing dress blues when Bond wears them on a boat. That's the only reason why I know anything about it. So as soon as the news hits Guam, Nathan's parents are on the first flight over here. I mean, that flight, right? I mean, that's going to be a long flight, huh?
Brutal. That whole flight, they're just thinking about how their son is gone and what they're going
to
do.
And they have at least 6 different headaches to deal with before they're there. I feel bad when people have to drive 5 hours because their son got killed in a nearby state. Like, that drive probably sucks too, but at least that's just one quick drive. Like, to have to fly internationally, ugh.
She had to know what happened to him. Had to.
But I love the hustle from him, though, because I'll bet Michelle did not plan on Nathan's parents showing up the next day and staying with her. Right?
Oh, yeah.
She had to be floored when they showed up with luggage.
And she had to put on a whole act.
Exactly.
His mom said that Michelle was like inconsolable and like had to hold on to her.
We needed to be there to help Michelle with the kids because we figured she'd be really totally out of it.
Oh, I would love to be a fly on the wall watching her try to pretend to be sympathetic. Like, what a show she must have put on. And because they're there when the cops say, can you come back in? And Nathan's mom says, hey, if you've got nothing to hide, take the lie detector, which Caitlin and I disagree with. But in this case, sure, go ahead and take it because you're guilty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that she was there because, you know, like, she has kids, right? But there was at least a part of her, when she heard that gun pop, she was thinking, this is my pad now, at least for 3 days, right? Like, she would at least have one night to do whatever the f*** she wanted. And she didn't even get that. I love it. I love it.
LOL.
When Michael was giving his story about picking up someone at Walmart, and then taken her to a hotel.
This was his alibi.
He was at a Walmart looking for love. Or something like it.
He said that he went to Walmart to pick up a random girl. They went to a hotel, had sex, and then went home. He's like, sorry, I couldn't do it. I was having random sex with a hottie.
Right.
Now, the problem there is he doesn't check in until after midnight. The murder happened after 11 p.m., and he said that he got to the hotel at 9 or 10. Like, dude, this is easy to bust, bro.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guy, why don't you check in before the murder and then go out the back door? What about that?
There might be surveillance, too, but at least there's record of you checking in earlier.
Yeah. Okay, so the cops hear this, but they don't have any eyewitnesses or concrete evidence to make arrests. They actually get a call from a friend of Michael's, right? Doesn't Shannon cold call the police?
Yes, because something is not sitting right with her.
So the night before, somebody had talked to Shannon and said, hey, if the cops ask you where you were last night, you got to say you were with Michael.
And I'm like, Jessica, what are you talking about? Is someone getting hurt? And she says, no, they're just going to rob a heroin dealer.
So we see Shannon's interrogation footage, and that's when she says, like, I thought I was going to be an alibi for a robbery of a heroin dealer, which I believe, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that. Do you... And then when she found out that someone got murdered and she was part of it, I mean, she's bawling. She's calling the cops. She comes in and is like, now I'm afraid for my life.
Yeah, she was like, I want to be very clear. My part in this had nothing to do with murder.
Yeah, and I did like Detective All-Star going, because when she was like, I'm afraid for my life.
She's like, don't be.
But I'm really afraid for my life. And you don't need to be. You really don't need to be, okay?
We're going to arrest him in the morning. You should not be scared.
Yeah. But yeah, so she goes in there and spills her guts. And this is the only thing that I got from the Snapped that Dateline did not present. And that's that Shannon's profession at one time was adult film star.
Oh, are you familiar with her work?
No.
Jessica Austin, who was one of the accomplices.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
She was hot, right?
Honestly,
that was a hot mugshot.
Hot as hell. And real talk, I thought maybe Snap got it twisted and she was the adult film star. Because I thought she's in that mugshot. I thought she looked the part. She was smoking hot.
Totally.
I mean, look, and this isn't a diss to Shannon. The interrogation footage was super low res.
We couldn't really get a good look at her, but we saw Jessica's mug and...
Yeah. She's looking good.
Yeah.
She's looking good.
She's killing it. Killing it in prison.
No, she only got probation.
Really?
How about that?
All right.
Yeah. So Shannon is over at Jessica's house.
But at some point in the night, she remembered Jessica starting a fire.
And Michael and this other guy barge in the door. They're like covered in blood. They strip their clothes down immediately and burn them in the fireplace. Screaming at Shannon, go, go, go. You got to go with them now. Go with them now. Go with them now. And so that's when she gets in Michael's car and they go to the hotel and he's like holding their hand and pretending to be boyfriend, girlfriend, all for the alibi.
And there's no footage of them at Walmart.
Exactly.
Because they did not meet at Walmart.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the detectives and to Dateline. If the hotel did not have security footage, they would have gone to Walmart. Because anybody who's watched a true crime anything, if there's one place in the world that has had security cameras for 20, 30 years, it's Walmart.
At every single checkout line.
Yeah. So like he would have been busted right then, right? Because they would have popped it in and go, you didn't even go to Walmart, you dummy.
He was so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I just like to think they solved it too quick. They didn't have to go there because that's like, dude, seriously?
It feels like...
I don't know.
How soon did they arrest him? Like 3 days later?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was quick because the Shannon thing, I think, was like the next day. I mean, I feel like there was a 3-day turnaround and then it was off until the trial 5 years later. Right? Because the trial didn't happen for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas, there's a backlog of crime.
Yeah. Wait, how funny is it, though? We were just talking about, is Las Vegas a cool place to live? Like, outside the strip or whatever. We were just talking about this.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this episode presented it of, like, it's not just the strip.
It's also murder.
Right. Now, that should be what keeps me away. But what keeps me away the most is that they're not allowed to have grass in their yards. I need grass if I'm owning a home, Kate.
Are they not allowed or it just can't grow?
Well, look, I'm sure it's that too. And I'm sure that LA will be there eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's great for the environment that there aren't yards. I'm just saying I'm not moving to Vegas to have stones in my front yard. Can't do it.
I have a whole other list of reasons.
Okay. Because I'd even take AstroTurf. That's how important just that green, the pop of green is to me if you live in a home.
Good, honey.
Michael and Michelle theoretically plotted to kill Nathan for his military life insurance, which was about $650,000. And
right.
Look, in this economy, that's only going to last like a couple years. Why do people murder for such small payouts?
Yeah. I mean, $650 would go kind of far outside of like a big city or whatever? Because I ask that too when it's a little bit less than that. Like if it's 500,000 or 300,000, I'm like, how, you're not going to be rich forever.
No.
What amount of money would you have to get where you would admit then and there that you can retire? I mean, I would have to get like $30 million.
Yeah. It would have to be over a million.
Yeah.
Because I could live off of the interest that 1 million accrues yearly. But anything less than that, it's not going to make enough money.
Oh, that's some smart adulting right there. You know, like some finance. Huh?
I have my finances in order.
Sweet. Michelle was not at Nathan's funeral. I think she was being interrogated, or maybe she was in the hospital.
Or maybe she felt like she should pretend that it's too upsetting.
God, I want to give the dingus credit for cutting her off and saying, you are the only person who's responsible for this. When she's like, I tried to stop it.
If you could have stopped this, you're the only one in the entire world.
And I tried to.
But I, because of the opinion he shared at the beginning of the ep, I'm going to despise him and his entire being for the rest of time. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think it might be list time. How about you?
Kate's unnamed list. All right.
Let's hear it.
We do have a military connection. Nathan
yep.
was in Air Force? Something.
Yep, the night shift too.
The U.S. Air Force held a memorial for Nathan.
So, something happened in this episode that is very interesting.
Yep, yep.
When Keith is interviewing Nathan's mom, she cries.
Yep.
Then she stops.
She does.
But she doesn't say, I'm sorry.
Nope. Who does?
Keith does! He apologizes for making her cry.
I was just getting ready to get off work.
I'm sorry.
He does a genuine apology. He's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild.
Yeah. I jumped off the couch.
I mean, that was a first.
I'm gonna count it. I'm gonna hella count it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Extra snaps for that.
Yeah. Boom. That's it. So is that it for your list?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't, unfortunately, Kurt's kick-ass list. Kick-ass list. While it is kick-ass, it did not make any appearances tonight, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Wait. Ha-ha! Take it. Flip it and reverse it. This dingus, when he said murder is entertainment.
I just didn't feel like murder was entertainment or should be entertainment.
He's talking about movies and TV shows. Boom! Item for my list.
You count it.
Yeah. Take that, dingus. Love you, All-Star. And next week, we'll be covering The Ultimate Betrayal, the Thursday ep after the Murtaughs, because we're skipping them. And I'm Kurt Money.
I'm Kateline.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
I'm sorry.